This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The Supreme Court inadvertently leaked a draft opinion today that's poised to allow emergency abortions in Idaho. CBS's Jan Crawford.
It does appear to me that this is the decision, and I will be surprised if it's something different when they release it.
The leak was originally reported by Bloomberg. The Supreme Court also sided with the Biden administration over how far the federal government can go to combat misleading social media posts. Lawyer Daniel Schmidt of Liberty Counsel says he's disappointed.
Allowing the federal government to silence a voice you don't like is dangerous to the First Amendment, it's dangerous to the country, and it's dangerous to the values we hold dear.
A debate rematch tomorrow between President Biden and former President Trump. Political analyst Larry Sabato predicts it's going to get ugly.
Parts of it will be unpleasant and extremely negative, and they will attack each other for absolutely everything.
CNN says mics will be muted while the other speaks. CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Join us live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. for Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Call in with your sports thoughts and feelings only on WFHR.
Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A Madison judge is granting a temporary injunction that will allow people with disabilities to vote at home electronically. Dane County's Everett Mitchell says the state law banning election clerks from emailing absentee ballots to disabled voters is unenforceable. The case could go all the way to the state Supreme Court. The first presidential debate is tomorrow night. Kristen Sira is a teacher in Port Washington with an autoimmune disorder, but she's listening to hear what the candidates have to say about helping young people.
What are we going to do about this whole generation of people who do not have health care as part of their employment package? How are they going to access health care so they can stay healthy?
Civic Media's debate coverage is on many of these stations tomorrow night at 7:30. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Following our upcoming meetings in the listening area for Thursday, June 27th, the South Central Library System Board of Trustees is meeting at 12:15 in Madison. The Waterworks and Lighting Commission will hold a special commission meeting at 1 p.m. in their conference room. The Wood County Health and Human Services Committee will meet at 5 at the Edgewater Haven Nursing Home. In Portage County, the Justice Coalition Executive Committee will meet at 8 a.m. at the Portage County Courthouse in Conference Room F. In Adams County, the Economic Development Meeting will begin at 7:30 at 159 East Ann Street in Adams. The Executive and Finance Special Board Meeting will be held from 8:30 to 10 at the Adams County Courthouse in County Boardroom A230. Ace Pyro has been chosen to orchestrate the annual fireworks show in Marshfield. The show will begin at 10 p.m. on Thursday, July 4th at the Marshfield Fairgrounds. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
The Brewers get the win in extra innings. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with a 6-5 win over the Rangers. Milwaukee's now won 4 in a row. Bottom of the 10th. Willie Adames on third thanks to a wild pitch. Andrew Monasterio at the plate on Bally Sports Wisconsin. Joey Ortiz shaken after running into the tarp for a pop fly. The Brewers have tomorrow off, then host the Cubs Friday night. NBA draft underway tonight. The Bucks with a 23rd pick. GM John Horst trying to make a good Bucks team better.
Just being laser focused on that, drilling down in and figuring out what are the specific skill sets that will give us the returns we need in a tough playoff series. The league keeps getting better. They're going to be better again next year. Boston's going to come back on fire, and they're going to be great.
That's the Bucks GM John Horst with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, a low in the low 50s. And a mix of sun and clouds for tomorrow, highs in the mid-70s. Showers and storms Thursday night and Friday, high near 70. Nice weekend ahead with sunshine returning, little breezy Saturday, highs both days, low 70s. Right now it's 78 degrees.
100 days, 144,000 minutes. The countdown to the November presidential election is on, and Maggie Dawn is counting too as she continues her special segment, Biden's Top 100.
Having heard from each and every one of you, I should start talking about what President Biden is proposing us for his second term.
Biden's Top 100 continues. You're invited to be part of it too. Call or text the Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays starting at 2, across the Civic Media Radio Network and the app.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as we get you ready for the presidential debate, Biden v. Trump. Everything you want to know right here. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. So
this is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Yes, of course it is. Tim and Johnny, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. 855-752-4842. Put that out there right away, Johnny Lupinacci, so people can get it in there, get that speed dial going. Johnny, you know, the other thing too is to remind people, hey, have you downloaded the Civic Media app, Johnny? You know, I know you and I have, but, you know, how many people out there, you're sitting there going, man, what do I do when I can't get Busted Pencils on the radio? Huh, not a problem. Download the app.
Yeah, or just talk to your smart speaker or whatever that little box is that I say your name and then she starts playing all kinds of stuff or telling me the weather. You can also ask that smart speaker, right, to get to the Civic Media stuff and connect you with great programming all day long. But, Tim, you know, I'm biased. Tune in for Busted Pencils every weekday. Same time, same place.
Same place. My guy,
always here with me. Love it. You know where else we could always be, too? If we are in Madison, we could be at the Monaco Brewing Company.
Absolutely.
Those guys are big-time advocates for public education, and they're up in Monaco, too. So whether you're in Madison or Monaco, stop by. Always hard working to build community and make great beer. They tell me, and I'm telling you because Kirk has told me this and I see it on the social media, they're the most sued brewery in America. Monaco Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out monacobrewingcompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer. And I could use a beer today, Tim. It's hot. It's summer. It's Wednesday.
Really?
And the news broke.
Oh, yeah.
And the news broke. And I mean, I think this news is too near and dear to us, Tim. You and I both talk all the time about, you know, our struggles as educators, as educated educators. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we talk a lot on the show. We talk a lot about politics, a lot about K-12 schools, a lot about this last show last night about higher education. That's college teachers, professors in college, how they continue to work to improve their teaching on top of being experts in their field. It was a great show last night. Tim, then the news broke. And we were lucky because we got a guy who can help us understand this news because, man, I was like, it's beautiful out. The sun is up. We had a great conversation with our guy, Jonathan Gerko, last night from the ACUE, man. And then boom, womp, womp, womp. Got the news headline. So without me teasing it anymore, Tim, let's let our listeners know what's going on.
Yeah, we have our special guest. He's been with us multiple times. Hey, just in case, too, he's also running for president of the United States. We want to put that out there. Alan Collins, founder and head of studentloanjustice.org. His organization has been leading the leading force advocating for the cancellation of all federally owned student loans and a return of bankruptcy protections to all student loans. Today, though, we're going to dive deep, Alan. The SAVE program, SAVE, which was helping people out.
Yeah, it was.
Part of it, now, Johnny says, the news is breaking. Republican-led states that challenged the SAVE program got some good news, because some forgiveness now is off the table. Some repayment relief is off the table. Alan Collins, welcome back to Busted Pencils. Help us make sense of this.
Well, it's great to be with you all under these unfortunate circumstances. So the SAVE plan was a revision of a revised income-driven repayment plan. This is a decades-long soap opera, but so Joe Biden introduced this SAVE plan pretty recently as a result of all the public outcry that's been happening around student loans lately. The lending system is, by all rational metrics, pretty much failed at this point. Very few people are paying. It's just a disaster. So Biden introduced the SAVE plan, which cut some of the interest that accrues on the other income-driven repayment plans so that people's loan balances as they go through the program don't balloon and explode. It's pretty, you know, on balance, it was a pretty good thing in the universe of income-driven repayment plans. But harks in the shadow of the Supreme Court case that we saw pretty recently about student loan cancellation, which Biden also tried to do. The Republicans have turned the student loan issue into a political football. And so they were successful in defeating the really pretty lame cancellation plan that Biden had rolled out. And the Republicans were apparently encouraged by this. And so now they are suing Biden on this new flavor of income-driven repayment plan. And so far, they're successful. The plan where the interest would stop accruing, that was supposed to start happening July 1st. But here we are now, as of this week, that's all on hold. The two federal judges, Kansas and Missouri, have issued injunctions on this SAVE plan. So it's really the Wild West out there, guys. I wish I could tell you what the future holds if you happen to be enrolled in one of these programs. But
let me ask this question, Alan, though, too, and I'm just gonna put it out there straight. I mean, really, this feels absolutely mean. Like absolutely mean and hurtful and harmful, intentionally out there. As you're just saying, you know what? Stopping the interest from accruing. It wasn't allowing, people are still paying, right? It was giving some real potential relief in some of the things that you've pointed out in the show many times of how people take out $12,000 in loans, pay back $20,000 in loans, and still owe another $30,000. How that reality can happen is because of what you just said. This, the way interest accrues on student loans, this was a tiny, tiny attempt to give it some justice, some student loan justice. And yet, really, these Republican attorney generals filed this lawsuit to stop, or to, let's not say to stop, to continue to perpetuate suffering.
That's exactly right. You know, and I'm a nonpartisan guy. I quite frankly am kind of done with both parties. The whole thing has just become one bunch of nonsense that guarantees the perpetuation of this predatory lending program. But the viciousness of the Republicans as this issue has become a political football is on full display for everyone to see. You know, and it's not just the current lawsuits. They've also introduced legislation to kill the SAVE plan legislatively. And it's pretty clear that the Republicans are fighting tooth and nail for this lending program. And as you point out, Tim, you know, even the relatively modest cancellations that we've seen over Biden's first 3.5 years, we've polled our members. We have millions of members. We polled many of them. So hopefully this is statistically relevant. But what we're finding is that even of the few people who are getting loan cancellation, the vast majority of them, 70%, already repaid amount that they borrowed. Many repaid far, far, far more than the amount they borrowed. So there's one example I could give. Vanjie in California, she borrowed $26,000. She repaid $92,000 on a $26,000 loan. Mm. Her loans were finally forgiven, but her balance at the end of it was still $26,000
from an original $26,000.
An original $26,000 loan. So when we're talking about canceling student loan debt, guys, we're not talking about the taxpayers shoveling money from the Treasury to the student loan borrowers. We're talking about canceling interest and profit. You know, the government was never supposed to make a profit on these loans. When the program was created in 1965, President Lyndon Johnson said that the loans would be free of interest.
Right.
And today, I just did the calculation. Today, $174 million in interest is created out of thin air every single day.
Daily.
Every day, $174 million.
Johnny Lupinacci, hold that, man, right? Think a day, yes. And yet we hear this, Johnny, like, jump in here. We hear how much pain those people who didn't go to college will have to suffer if student loans are forgiven. Johnny Lupinacci, what say you?
Well, I mean, Tim, I think that's always the myth that's out there, right? And I love that you brought it up, because I think for a listener, it's really important to dispel that myth. You know, like, if we were to solve this problem promptly, swiftly, let's say we were to really take a close look, and as I thought we were kind of, I'm always hopeful. I think we're headed there all the time. I'm like, okay, it's looking good. It's looking like we can just solve this, you know, this massive debt that so many people are in, right? And get things fixed, get it right, so we don't just recreate it, right? We know we can do better. We know we can do it. But I often hear, well, that's not fair, because, I'm working in some other industry, or I had my college paid for me, or I didn't have to take out, you know, federal loans. And then I say, okay, well, it's not fair, because now I'm paying for somebody else who took that loan out, who hasn't paid back their education. Mm-hmm. So, like, that's the thing I get into. So, Alan, for our listener, can you help? Because Tim and I could say, well, that's just a myth. That's not true. But I think you got the language around really helping us communicate that to our listener out there, who's like, one, man, the Republicans are trying to stick it to you. Many of you are Republicans straddled with this debt, right? And or you might identify like Alan and I, like, hey, neither the Democrats or the Republicans seem to be like really in favor of these things that we call democracy. But in general, one, like, help us dispel this myth that it's like going to cost the hardworking people, you know, their.
I'm so glad you asked. It's the number one myth out there. Everywhere, every day, I get hit by these really Muppets who've been programmed by the propaganda that proponents of this lending system have been just overwhelming the media, the zeitgeist with. Student loan cancellation is canceling interest. It's not an actual cost to the taxpayer. Unlike PPP loans, for example, not one dime has to be taken from the Treasury. Not one penny is added to the national debt. And on balance, the taxpayers are breaking about even. So you can't say that about any other lending program. Every nickel of federally owned student loan debts, 90% of all loans, could be canceled tomorrow. And as I said, the federal government would have made essentially all of its money back.
I think that's the point, too, is to point that out for somebody just going. It's like, so the amount of money that has been loaned out, actually, the amount of interest that has generated, there has been more money actually made over the time than, Alan, is what you're saying, than the actual loan that was given out. So there isn't anything to repay, because it's been repaid over and over and over again by the interest generations. Alan Collins, studentloanjustice.org, the number. Give us a call when you're ready for that. You know, if you're struggling with the SAVE plan, 855-752-4842. Get more back here with Alan, and let's bust this myth. More when we get back.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Tome for the Todd Allball Show.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
What is the worst movie franchise? Do you have one, Conrad?
What are your thoughts on Transformers?
I saw one Transformer movie. I think it was the first one. I didn't even know what the hell was going on.
I can't get into them anymore because, you know, it's the same every movie now.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be nice if you knew which Transformer. I know there's, like, testosterone and overload and whatever the, you know.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Together, in a debate of the issues important to you, your first opportunity to hear from President Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump is Thursday, June 27th.
Listen live on your local Civic Media radio station. Starting at 7:30 p.m., News Director Terry Bell, along with Todd Albaugh, host of The Todd Albaugh Show, will share insight on what's at stake.
The CNN Presidential Debate, live Thursday, June 27th. Coverage at 7:30, the debate at 8, on your local Civic Media radio station. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
It's endless. Busted pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Sherry from Horicon. Hey, guys. Hey, Sherry, what's happening? Appreciate that. You too can text in if you're on the Twitter, if you're on the Facebook or the X, if that's what you have to call it nowadays. You know, give us a note or give us a call, 855-752-4842. Right. Our guest, Alan Collins. Yeah, and Alan, he's running for president, too, of the United States. Just, you know, something minor. Head of studentloanjustice.org. Yesterday, Johnny's day was upset because a couple attorneys general who took some modest relief to the saving loan or the student loan disaster, just a little bit of relief that was allocated and some that was about to start here July 1st. No. That, sorry, meanness, anger, hurt. Truly trying to harm people. Well, they were successful. Alan, we've been talking about this, and before the break, we're trying to say, help bust the myth of my neighbor who is absolutely convinced that if my son's student loans happen to be forgiven or canceled, that he's going to be stuck with the bill to pay off my son's student loan because. And let's make this for the, you know, truly compassionate and understand, because that's what he's being told and he really believes that. And can you blame somebody who's saying, wait a minute, sucker, I'm not on the hook for paying off your son's student loan. That's just not fair. When they say that, they're not wrong to say that's not fair. But we come back and go, but that's not what's happening. You won't pay a dime. How do we get that through to people that my neighbor who truly is just saying he doesn't want to be mean. He just doesn't want to be stuck with paying off student loans that he didn't take out.
Yeah, it's just a pervasive lie. It plays very well with an uneducated audience. It sounds good. It's politically, the Republicans just, it's red meat to them, apparently. But the fact of the matter is the people have paid. The government was never supposed to make a profit on student loans. Today, it makes $100 billion a year in profit. And so when loans are canceled, no money is drawn from the Treasury. The taxpayers don't have to come up with new money from the people to pay for that. It's essentially monopoly money. It's writing off interest. You know, I like to use the analogy of if you buy a $1 lottery ticket, right? You scratch it off. It didn't win the $1 million, but you won a buck back. You won a dollar. So, okay, you broke even. Can you now go when you file your taxes and write that lottery ticket off as a $1 million loss because you didn't win the million? No, you would go to prison for accounting fraud. That is exactly the propaganda that the people making money off of this loan scam are pushing into the zeitgeist. It's a bald-faced lie, easily disproven. But, you know, as I think Mark Twain said, the truth It can't even get its pants on in the morning before a lie can make it halfway around the world. And that's exactly what's going on here, guys. It's propaganda. And people out there need to realize that by wagging their finger at student loan borrowers, what they're actually doing is fighting for the Department of Education, the colleges, which most conservatives don't like either of those two entities, and the most unconstitutional loan scam in U.S. history.
Mm. Well, and I think about it too, Alan. I love the way you put it, because for our listener out there thinking about this, and you know, if this is the first time you've heard this perspective where you're like, this is a bold-faced lie, you know, this isn't, it isn't taking money out of your pocket. I'll even put out there, you know, I've been in conversations with people that aha moment actually means, and the numbers are large, that we're talking about a lot of people who are straddled with student loan debt. And it's not like they're trying to get out of paying back, but like Alan, you pointed out, it's excess accrued interest. It's many times four or five times over the amount borrowed, you know, and imagine, say you have a $900 a month student loan payment.
Want to get out of just about anything and look like an earth-saving hero? Just use the environment excuse. High school reunion? Ooh, sorry, can't. Planetary obligations. Unfortunate bridesmaid's dress. Unfortunately, you promised the climate you'd buy more vintage. Chauffeuring teens? Yeah, the earth really needs them to hoof it. That's right, the environment is always the best excuse. So go ahead, ask your bae to dim all the lights because carbon emissions. Tell your dad-bodied dad to eat more plants, for the planet, obviously. Kindly tell the kids to stop asking for a new phone. I mean, e-waste, right? Find your out and opt in to cutting carbon. Just visit theenvironmentexcuse.org. A public service announcement brought to you by WildAid.
Wondering what makes Wisconsin Dells the perfect summer getaway? Let's find out. Let's splash. Let's play. Let's try something completely new. Let's make sure we do this again next year. Hey, I'm working up an appetite. Let's eat. Need a guys' weekend? Let's do guy stuff. Need a girls' weekend? Let's go, girls. Need a family getaway? Let's have some together time. Wisconsin Dells. Let's make this the best vacation ever. Go to wisdells.com and start planning your trip to the water park capital of the world today.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world. We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober, or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
Are you and your family weather ready? I'm Terry Barr, producer of the Slice of Wisconsin series. Wisconsin weather is ever-changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather-ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
The heat is on. Did you know that high temperatures are the leading cause of weather-related deaths? Here are some safety tips when you're dealing with a Wisconsin scorcher. First, do not leave another person or your pet in the car. 8 kids died in hot cars in the last several years across the state, and it didn't even have to happen. Look before you lock and walk away. Work outside, keep water close, and stay hydrated. Take a break in the shade, and if you can limit time in the heat, even better. Chill out in the air conditioning or find your community's cooling shelter. And check on your family and neighbors to be sure that they're safe too. Stay cool and be cool by being weather ready. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Now, back to more Wisconsin Rapids Raptors baseball on WFHR.
Raptors baseball is on the air here in Ashwaubenon, the second of this series between your Wisconsin Rapids Raptors and the Green Bay Rockers. Andy Ockham, your voice, the Raptors on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR on your Civic Media apps. Either way, it's right here on locally grown radio. This is the 29th Raptors ball game in this 2024 Northwoods League season, and they're coming off a 6-0 loss last night here against the Rockers. The second time the Raptors have been shut out this season, a masterpiece on the mound from a couple of right-handers, Henry Chabot and Michael Riley, combining to just allow 3 hits against these Raptors. Did not walk a Raptor hitter. and the two combined for 10 punchouts. Scoring got started last night in the second, a run put up after a leadoff single from Sam Miller brought home on an RBI groundout from Mateo Matthews. The four-run bottom of the fourth for the hosts, deemed to be the difference maker, sending 10 to the plate, scoring four times. A two-run single up the middle from Taylor Schultz was the big knock in that inning. In the final run of the ballgame, a solo blast in the eighth frame with two outs from the nine-hole hitter Lucas Torres against Raptors southpaw reliever Mac Mabry was all she wrote. No runs on three hits and an error for the Raptors, leaving two on the bases. Six runs on six hits, no errors, leaving seven on was Green Bay. Henry Chabot, we mentioned, five innings of one-hit ball, did not allow a run nor a walk, and struck out seven on 60 pitches. Michael Riley, four frames, two hits allowed, and three punchouts on 47 pitches. Ricky Williams got the start for the Raptors last night. His first start away from Winter Field, throwing three and a third innings, allowing four hits, five runs, four of which were earned. Ricky struck out four rocker hitters and punched out three on the 60 pitches he threw. Jack Weisinger came in to finish off that long fourth inning in which Williams could not finish. Two-thirds of a frame for the right-hander from Pomona Pitzer, allowing one hit, no runs, walked one, and struck out one on his 16 pitches. A couple left-handers got the final four innings, and how about Brandon Scott? Some fantastic work for the southpaw out of Division II Hillsdale College. No runs or hits allowed for Scott, just walked one rocker hitter and struck out four on the 42 pitches he threw. And as mentioned, Mac Mabry got the eighth. He allowed that solo home run to Torres. That was his only hit and run given up. He did not walk a rocker hitter. He punched out one. Time of the game last night, 2 hours and 20 minutes, the shortest game the Raptors have played in this season. Just over 1,400 in attendance here in Ashwaubenon. 81 degrees and sunny at the time of first pitch. It's a little more windy here tonight. The sun is out. We're ready for some night baseball. The Raptors looking for their first win against Green Bay this season. Rockers, Raptors, when we return just a few minutes from first pitch on your home for Raptor Baseball, 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
It's what we were taught, trained, and told to do.
It could be for anything. Helping a friend move.
Listening to a fellow veteran for hours, at any hour of the day.
Or just simply making time for people. A neighbor, a loved one, or even a stranger.
We're often the first to help others. There's no question about it.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
Perhaps it's time to do for yourself what you would do for others.
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Since the moment you were born, I've made 1,000 wishes. Wishes for your future. In a world that's changing fast. For all of the things you may one day do. Do play and laugh. Do win and lose. Do learn from your mistakes. And challenge yourself to grow. Do not be afraid. Or make decisions based in fear. Do it all with confidence and with kindness and strength. Do call your mom and ask her for advice. And always do your best to remember that no matter what you do in this life,
thank you.
What matters to me is that you keep doing. I love you always, Mom. Inspire kids to do at 4-H.org.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Summer is finally here and outdoor adventure awaits. Get your adventure rolling with a camper from Greenway RV. As a family-owned dealership with 9 top 50 dealer awards for excellent customer service, they know the importance of quality time with loved ones. Plus, as a Route 66 network dealer, you can travel with peace of mind knowing help is just a phone call away. So kick off your next adventure with Greenway RV. You know you're in good hands. 8220 Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids or online at greenwayrv.com.
Don't you score a new ride? Find a deal that hits out of the park with Johnson & Sons, your neighborhood Chrysler, Dodge, and Jeep dealer and service center. Serving Wisconsin Rapids and central Wisconsin area for over 84 years through four generations. See the difference that family can bring. Serving Wisconsin Rapids, Stevens Point, Marshfield, Clover, Weston, and Cronenwetter. Take a swing. Don't miss out on these great deals at Johnson Chrysler Jeep in Wisconsin Rapids.
The big winners are in for the Scotty Summer Contest.
Exciting. Let's listen to the calls.
Hi, who's this?
This is Tori.
You're one of our grand prize winners.
All right, man. Great to hear this morning.
We got some good news for you.
Okay.
You are one of our grand prize winners.
Really?
Yes.
Awesome.
Winning is fun. Just ask Tammy from Baraboo and Tori from Kewaunee.
Thank you. That's great.
Listen for future chances to text and win on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
Battleground, purple, swing state. You've heard the terms, but what connects it to elections? Wisconsin has been a swing state off and on since the 1950s, but recent elections solidified it when the state could have been won by either the Democratic or Republican candidate. Michigan and Minnesota, Arizona, Florida, Georgia, Nevada, North Carolina, Ohio, and Pennsylvania, also swing states. Watch for more campaigns to target Wisconsin and these other states before the next election. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Let's get back to the rafters here on WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
Let's rock and roll here from Capital Credit Union Park, the home of the Green Bay Rockers and the site of the fourth matchup between the Rockers and your Wisconsin Rapids Raptors in this 2024 Northwoods League season. The 13-15 Raptors, the 12-16 Rockers, ready to rock and roll, no pun intended. I know I like to say that joining every broadcast, but fans, welcome in. As always, it's your voice of the Raptors, Andy Yakum, with you, and we've got some starting lineups to go over for both squads. Let's start with your Raptors offensively. They're led on the mound by Thomas Burns, the right-hander from Hortonville, Wisconsin, and Arizona State University, who will toe the rubber in the bottom of the first. Let's see who's behind him and who's going to be swinging the bats in order to try and get some runs and get ahead early. Owen McElfatrick returns the lineup. Did not play last night. The Northwestern Wildcat will lead off at second base. In the two spot in his second game as a Raptor, out in center field from the University of Virginia, it's Aiden Teal. Jorge Degatti will hit third as the DH. Max McGuire cleaning things up as the first baseman. Trotter Boston will hit fifth and play third. Jack Matthey in the sixth spot returns to the outfield where he hasn't been since the first week of the season. Jack will be in right. Cashel Duggar will do the catching and hit seventh. Tracer Lopez, the Texas Tech Red Raider, will hit eighth and play short. Mason Onani, a second defensive outfield position for the Tulane product. He'll hit ninth and play left. Kyle Dobbins on the mound making his first start of the season at the University of Hawaii. This is his seventh appearance with the Rockers. Go over his defensive alignment momentarily. Owen McElfatrick to step in and begin this ballgame just after 6:35 tonight. Righty on righty battle, the lengthy Dobbins fires. And we're underway with the first pitch fastball right down the chute for strike one. McElfatrick playing in his 12th game as a Raptor is a 286 hitter, 14 for 49 so far his own with a couple of long balls and 11 runs driven in. Last played in the finale against Waterloo. Was lifted during that ball game, went 0-for-2 in three plate appearances, drew a walk and scored a run, did McElfatrick. The 0-1 pitch. This one fouled away down the first base side and into the stands. It's now 0-2. Dobbins on the mound defensively in the 1-9. Lucas Torres will lead off in left field. Taylor Schultz will hit second at second. Mullivai Lavu will hit third and play third. Jake Bold will clean up behind the plate. Sam Miller, the everyday shortstop for the Rockers, will hit fifth as the DH. We'll get back to that in a minute. The 0-2. Breaking ball, hit on a line, that one as well, right down the first baseline off a chair, right beyond the Raptor dugout, count remains 0-2. We left off on the five-hole hitter in DH Sam Miller. Switch hitting shortstop Cooper Kelly will hit sixth. Just like yesterday, the left-handed hitting Wagner College first baseman Mateo Matthews will bat seventh. Another switch hitter in the eighth spot from the Ole Miss, that's Seth Farney, the center fielder, and Nick Harms out in right will bat ninth. 0-2 breaking ball in the inside corner, just misses. McElfatrick has worked the count to 1-2. For the right-hander Dobbins, mentioned outing number 7, but start number 1. He worked 4 innings out of the bullpen on the 22nd of June, just 4 days ago, here at home against Battle Creek. 1-2 pitch, breaking ball. McElpatrick throws his hands out. It to short. Kelly charges. The throw to first is not in time. It is an infield single for Owen McElpatrick to get the Rafters started here tonight. Just 3 hits for Wisconsin Rapids an evening ago in their second shutout of the season. You saw a 1-out single in the 3rd from Kyler McIntosh, a 1-out double from Tracer Lopez in the 6th, and a 2-out single from Trotter Boston in the 8th. Aiden Teal led off last night and played center. The left-handed hitting University of Virginia product got 10 at-bats at the Division I level this past season, went 4-for-10, had 3 homers out of his 4 knocks. He went 0-for-4 with 4 strikeouts last night in his Rafters and Northwoods League debut. Facing the right-hander, Dobbins first pitch to Teal. Fastball that misses away for ball 1. It was wonderful to have Colin Kapoor, the TV voice of the Rafters, join me here yesterday. First time having a guest on these WFHR airwaves. And we were joking around before and after. Of course, it was the shortest ball game of the season for Wisconsin Rapids. That 2-hour, 20-minute, 6-0 loss. Teal swinging away at the 1-0. Hits this one in the air down the third baseline in foul territory. LeBoux giving chase. That'll be a souvenir for a Lucky Rocker fan down the third baseline as the count evens at a ball and a strike. Talked about Dobbins in his June 26th second outing against Battle Creek. 4 innings pitched, allowed 3 hits, 1 run. It was earned, walked 1, and struck out 3 Battle Jack hitters of the 18 he faced. Entering with his 17 and a third innings pitched on the season, a 3-0 record out of the bullpen with a 5.19 ERA to 1.33 whip. Teal in the box is the 80th hitter of the season Dobbins is facing, the 1-1. Breaking ball, that one is in there for a call strike, lurking low and away on the left-handed hitting Teal. There is Dobbins. Plenty of fun Northwoods League action to be had tonight. Already a couple of finals earlier on this Wednesday afternoon. 1-2 the count on Teal, out on first McElpatrick after an infield single to lead off the inning and this ball game. The payoff. This one hit on the ground, back up the middle. They'll get past a diving Kelly into center field for a base hit. McElpatrick motoring around second. He'll get into third without a throw. It's the first hit as a Wisconsin Rapids Rafter for Aiden Teal and a base knock here in the first back-to-back singles from the 1-2 spots in the Rafter order, putting runners on the corners for Jorge Degatti. tonight, hit second and caught an evening ago. He's out in right field today. You'll see Jack defensively with the rest of the Raptors when we get to the home half of the first inning. And for Thomas Burns as well, another road start as the 1-1 pitch misses outside. Always great to be on WFHR with you Raptor fans this season. It's been a joy for me so far. I know it's been a joy for all of you just being able to talk and get to enjoy your presence and tell your stories and feel the excitement of the community. It's 1-0 Raptors if you're just joining us. A sacrifice fly from Jorge Degatti, bringing home a leadoff single from Owen McElfatrick. Right now, 2 away, 2-2 the count on Trotter Boston with Aiden Teal on first base. The payoff from Dobbins, a breaking ball got him swinging. A couple of punch-outs for Dobbins to wrap out the first, but how about Owen McElfatrick and Aiden Teal at the top of this order? A couple of base hits. Aiden Teal's first hit is a Raptor, bringing home the game's first run. 1-0 the score. Thomas Burns heads to the mound with a lead in the home half of the first from Capital Credit Union Park. We'll be back in a couple of minutes for Raptor Baseball on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
You're listening to Raptors Baseball here on WFHR, brought to you by 8th Street Auto, American Shaman, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Aspirus Health, Solaris, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Delta Dental of Wisconsin, S&S Distributing, Econ Electric, Greenaway RV, Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Fireplaces, Pro Seamless of Wisconsin, Swiftwater Ice Cream, and Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep Dodge. Listen into Raptors Baseball here on WFHR all summer long or check us out on the Civic Media app.
At CBD American Shaman, we're here to support your journey to wellness with legal hemp-derived products. Our certified CBD consultants offer a clinical approach to meet your specific needs, whether it's easing chronic discomfort, reducing stress, or improving sleep. We're passionate educators helping you understand the benefits of hemp without the stigma. Discover the natural, legal way to a balanced life at CBD American Shaman. Visit us today and experience the difference.
Go yard this summer with special rebates from Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Fireplaces, a proud partner of your Wisconsin Rapids Raptors. Right now, you can upgrade to a new Bryant AC and get up to $1,650 in rebates and rewards on qualifying models. It's a surefire way to beat the summer heat and walk off in style. Comfort Air, your local experts doing whatever it takes to keep you comfortable.
Hurry! This offer is good until the end of June. Get started now by visiting comfortair.biz. That's comfortaire.biz.
Let's get back to Raptors Baseball here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Bottom one, and it's Thomas Burns time from Capital Credit Union Park. Andy Ockham, your voice, the Raptors on WFHR, bringing your Raptor Baseball all season long, whether on your FM AM dials at 97.5, 1320, or on your Civic Media apps. Burns, the Hortonville, Wisconsin native and a freshman of Arizona State University, making his fifth start of the season for the Raptors. He is 0-1 through six innings pitched, an ERA at 13.5 and a whip at 3.67. He last worked two innings at Wausau in the nightcap of that doubleheader 6 days ago, Thursday, June 20th, allowing two hits, one run. It was earned. He walked three and struck out three woodchuck hitters of the 11 he faced. It's his first time facing Green Bay this season. The Raptors bring in a 1-0 lead to the bottom of the first. If you're just joining us, Wisconsin Rapids sending five to the plate in the top of the first inning. Leadoff single from Owen McElfatrick. Aiden Teal, who went 0-for-4 last night in his Raptor debut with four punchouts, followed suit with a base hit up the middle to put runners on the corners. Jorge Degatti would then bring home McElfatrick on a sacrifice fly to right center field. A couple of punchouts, though, for the right-hander Kyle Dobbins got him out of the frame. Lucas Torres, the left-handed hitting left fielder, to lead things off, taking a first pitch low from the right-hander Burns for ball one. Torres reached in all four of his trips to the plate last night in the series opener. He drew a six-pitch walk in the second, singled and scored in the fourth, drew another six-pitch walk to lead off the sixth through his first three. Burns fires a 1-0 fastball up and in, two balls and no strikes now. On the Wagner College product, Lucas Torres. And then Torres' fourth time on the bases in the eighth inning, it was a leisurely jog around the paths. A solo blast to right field off fellow left-hander Mac Mabry with two down in the inning. Burns out of the windup. The lengthy right-hander fires the 2-0 home. Fastball missing up high. Now three balls and no strikes. Uniform matchup today is the same that we had an evening ago. Raptors going with their alternate, which is becoming more of their regular road caps, the all-black lids The maroon tops, gold numbering and lettering on the front and back with black slacks. Green Bay with their white pinstripe uniforms, blue sleeves on the side. 3-0 the count on the leadoff hitter Torres. The next delivery from Burns. Fastball catching the top of the zone for a called strike. On deck is Taylor Schultz. Malavai Levu to follow. Cooper Kelly and Seth Varney, the two switch hitting rockers in the lineup tonight, are new in this series, as is the right fielder Nick Harms. 3-1 pitch, another fastball dotting the outside corner is Burns. It's now 3-2. A couple of rockers from an evening ago not in the lineup. That's Lane Allen, Peyton Mansfield, Luke Moeller, just to name a few. The 3-2 with no outs in the bottom of the first coming here from Burns. Fastball fouled back to the screen. Burns has pitched now four of his five outings as a Rafter away from Winterfield. His lone home start came back on June 9th, the Sunday matinee against the La Crosse Loggers. It was an 8-5 win for the Rafters. Burns went two innings, allowed one hit, two runs, one of which was earned. He walked five and struck out five while facing 13 Logger batters. The next 3-2 home, just missing up and away. It's a seven-pitch walk drawn by Lucas Torres to begin things for Green Bay in the bottom of the first. It'll be Taylor Schultz hitting from the right side and playing second base. Schultz, an evening ago, got to the box five times, was the only rocker to do so as he made the final out in the home half of the eighth inning. Schultz reached once, and it was a big reach, a two-run single in that four-run bottom of the fourth inning, a couple of punch-outs for him as well against Wisconsin Rapids. Burns out of the stretch, working first base side of the rubber. Torres has now reached in all five of his plate appearances against Rafter pitching in this two-game series. Righty on righty battle. Burns set six on the pitch clock. The first pitch, fastball right down the chute, taken for strike one from Schultz. It's Levu on deck, bold to follow. When we get to the top of the second for the Rafters, it'll be Jack Matthew, Cashel Duggar, and Tracer Lopez. Heading the count here at 0-1. Burns set. Another lengthy pitch clock here. Four left. Here it comes. Another fastball. This one driven in the air. Foul down the first base line. Schultz playing in his 20th game with the Rockers this summer. A native of Georgia and an attendee of Georgia State University. In 19 games, he's a .281 hitter, 16 hits, and 57 at-bats. Still in search of his first long ball and has driven in nine runs for Green Bay this summer. 0-2 the count. See what Burns goes to here. He went breaking ball and it misses downstairs, a ball and two strikes. And a big three-hit game prior to this series. Did Schultz. Went 3-for-4, two runs scored and a run driven in that 12-5 loss at Athletic Park against the Wausau Woodchucks on June 24th. Beginning of the fifth week of this season. Pickoff move from Burns over to first, checking in on Torres prior to the 1-2 delivery. Rafters return home tomorrow. It's the Fond du Lac Dock Spiders, the first of four straight games between the opponent within the division that Wisconsin Rapids began their season against. Deep breath from Burns, and a 1-2 pitch here. Fastball popped up in the air. That'll clear the field of play and hit the overhang, taking care of the protection of the second deck here at Capital Credit Union Park. Count remains 1-2. It's an interesting four straight, though, and it's the second time in the first half and the last time in the first half the Raptors will have the same opponent for four straight games and four straight days. We saw that with Madison a couple weeks ago. It was two at the Duck Pond and two at Witter Field. It's aligned a little differently here in the next 4 days. The next 1-2. Breaking ball, hit on the ground. That's going to clear the 5-6 hole into left field for a base hit. It's a single for Taylor Schultz. Him and Torres aboard, similar to what Owen McElpatrick and Aiden Teal did in the top of this inning. Two aboard, nobody out for the three-hole hitter from UCLA, Malavai Levu.
Third baseman, number 28, Malavai Levu.
Levu. Yesterday reached once, he went 1-for-4. Base hit in the fourth for Mullivine. Also flew out to center in the first, grounded out to second in the third, and his final trip to the plate went down looking to retire the side in the sixth. Righty on lefty battle here, and you look at the left-handed batters in the lineup, there's four for the Rockers tonight. Just three strictly right-handed hitters, a couple of switch hitters as well. First pitch to the UCLA Bruin, misses inside for ball one. So I was talking about how the schedules align for the next 4 days with Fondi. It's not what we saw a couple weeks ago with Madison, two on the road, two at home. It's one at home, two on the road, one at home. That 1:05 first pitch on Sunday the 30th will end the first half for the Raptors. First half officially ending Tuesday, June 2nd, or July 2nd, I should say, which is an off day for the Raptors, as is Monday, July 1st. Burns goes breaking ball on the 1-0. It Plops right in the zone for a called strike. Count now 1-1. I'm sure the Rafter players are going to wonder what they can do in the area. Fans as well, whether you're from the Rapids area, just getting acclimated to the Rapids area, or coming in from out of town. Going to be a lot of off time in those 2 days, and even that Sunday night. The 1-1. This one fouled straight back. LeVou in the hole at 1-2. For those 2 days, look no further than our friends over at the Wisconsin Rapids Area Convention and Visitors Bureau. This summer, welcoming you and inviting you to explore, reconnect, and relax in the Rapids area. For more information, check out visitwisrapids.com. Once again, check out visitwisrapids.com for more information on the Wisconsin Rapids Area Convention and Visitors Bureau this summer and all year round in the Rapids area. 1-2, 2-1, nobody out, bottom 1, 1-0 Rafters. Burns looks back at second, the payoff home. Fastball missing up top, count evens 2-2. Castro Duggar, the Raptor catcher, though. Very much a fan of that delivery, letting Burns know that's exactly where I wanted that on the 1-2. Defensively for the Raptors, left, center, right, it's Onati in left. For the first time this season, Aiden Teal in center, Jack Matthew in right field. On the infield, manning the hot corner tonight is Trotter Boston. Up the middle, it's Tracer Lopez at second. Owen McElfatrick at second. As the 2-2 breaking ball, grounded back up the middle and through for a base hit. Torres getting the green light around third. The throw home is cut off by Max McGuire on the mound. It's an RBI single for Mullaby LeVou. Runners remain on first and second. We're tied at one, and there's still nobody out in this home half of the first inning. The cleanup hitter today for Green Bay is the exact same gentleman who hit out of this spot an evening ago. He was the DH last night, was Jake Bold. He's doing the catching for the Rocker pitching staff here today. When looking at Bold in last night's 6-0 win, slated right in the middle of that order as the first pitch from Burns misses for ball one. Bold reached once, collected an RBI and a 5-pitch walk that he drew in the fourth inning. Other than that, 0-for-3 in the contest. Count 1-0, righty-on-righty battle on deck. It's the DH, Sam Miller. Burns looks back at second, the 1-0. Fastball right down the heart of the plate. It's in there for a called strike. Rafters getting two big off days, and then they'll start the second half of the season on the road. A rare midweek 5:05 first pitch back at the Duck Pond against the Madison Mallards. A team that the Rafters have seen 8 times this month already out of their 12 total on the season. 1-1 pitch. Fastball right in there for a called strike. Shoot the knees, working middle is Burns, and he's ahead yet again in this frame with a 1-2 count. Rafters will see the Mallards 4 times once we hit the month of July, and they won't see him at all in August in the regular season. The only way they'll see Madison in the month of August is in the playoffs. 1-2 the count on the cleanup hitter for the Green Bay Rockers this evening. Still nobody out, bottom 1 the payoff. Fastball just missing up and away. It's now 2-2. You look at on the road following the first half, obviously getting games 2 and 3 out of 4 at Air Baker Field out of the way this week. They'll head to Fondy 1 time in the second half, Madison twice. They'll be here in Green Bay 3 times, 2 of those in the month of August, just in that 10-day, 10-game stretch. Lakeshore a few times as well. And Mequon, right after the All-Star break, is a pickoff move from Burns, checking in on Schultz at second. He was nearly halfway down the line, dancing off. We've seen that a lot against Rafter pitching here in this past week. Wisconsin Rapids entering today on a 3-game losing streak after sweeping the Madison Mallards on Friday and Saturday at Witter Field over the weekend. They went to Waterloo Sunday, Monday, dropped both of those high-scoring affairs, and lost last night 6-0. The 2-2 coming here from Burns to Bold. Breaking ball just missing downstairs. It's a full count. As mentioned, the Rafters going 5 days between home games, so we'll be back home tomorrow. I know the intern crew ready to have some fun. Talking to Colin Kapoor, like I mentioned, having him on this broadcast yesterday was a boatload of fun, and we're looking to do it again here soon. Saying, I'm looking forward to getting back to Winter in a couple days. I said, hey, man, me too. As the 3-2 pitch lined into center, that's going to drop in front of Aiden Teal for a base hit. Wasn't shallow center, though, so getting the stop sign at third is Taylor Schultz. The Rockers go station to station and have the bases loaded with nobody out here in the first. So one walk issued by Thomas Burns in this inning. That was a 7-pitch walk to lead off the frame to Lucas Torres. But since then, 3 straight singles from Taylor Schultz, Mullaby LeVou, and Jake Bold. Love Cashel Duggar head out to the mound for a quick conference with Burns. So the control has been the problem for Burns and has been the issue this season. We mentioned his 5 punchouts that he had at home in his lone home outing against La Crosse a few weeks ago. But he also walked 5 in that ballgame. So he's finding the zone a lot more here tonight in Ashwaubenon, but he's getting hit around the yard just a bit. So he's Sam Miller in the first game between the two teams here at Capital Credit Union.